need a lot of presents to make my Christmas bright. I just need my baby's arms wound around me tight. Oh, Santa,
hear my baby. Is he even saying, or are you still doing it?
He's the co-host.
Wait a minute. Are you starting or am I starting?
I'm starting.
So
Do we have more to say?
Go, Beardy.
Do we have more to say?
I don't know. Do we?
What are you talking about? This is more the Star pre-game. Wars one-shot.
Isn't it? What are we doing again?
Do we have more pregame?
No, I don't think we have any more pregame.
Hello. Welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. I am your...
That was great.
We even prepped
one of the hosts.
I am the host. Patrick thinks he's the most key component to this.
We're pros at this.
This is our 48th episode. We are getting.
And we still can't
so
get the intro
mediocre
down.
At this.
Seriously,
we're getting so mediocre.
We even talked about it. Here's the pre podcast was okay. What are we going to say? How are we going to do this? What's the intro?
And then we totally.
You screwed that up, Patrick.
I screwed nothing up. You guys talked over me.
True.
I did my job perfectly.
When are we recording this?
First time ever.
Yeah.
This is special. This podcast is probably sounds a little different because we're recording this in Christopher's living room.
Yeah, we are.
Because it's Christmas time.
It's like cathedral-like.
The acoustics are cathedral-like.
He has vaulted ceilings and he has tile floors, wood floors. So that bounces sound off. So
I was going to say it's more like Westminster Abbey.
Chartres.
Or it's the National Cathedral, maybe?
Chartres.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Gothic cathedral in the south of France.
It's in France. Chartres. Good job, Andrew.
I know a lot. You're educated. I am educated.
You just know a lot of irrelevant shit.
I went to Andrew, a lot of irrelevant shit.
You know, Andrew, I thought you were an idiot before this moment.
Well, he knew what Chartres was.
I did.
You know what Chartres was.
I took a classics class.
You're such a...
also are going to hear...
Brothers Geek.
You
didn't do the whole
classes,
Brothers Geek.
Because we're drinking. Oh, Brothers Geek.
What are we?
We are the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast.
Yes, there we go.
And
you didn't say that before.
Patrick. And that's Christopher.
This is a train wreck.
Say hello, Christopher.
Hello, Christopher.
Say hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
Yeah. We're brothers.
It's
we're geeks.
It's such a good gag.
It's like it hasn't been done before.
We're pros.
Pros.
Except we make no money.
Podcasting pros.
We're geeks. This is a special episode because we're obviously recording this together because I'm usually in Portland. Christopher is usually in Tucson now.
Yeah.
And Andrew's in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
But now we're all in Phoenix because it's Christmas time,
Christmas
everyone.
Christmas time.
But it's also a
silver
special.
Bells.
Okay. Wow. Here,
what's the next line? Anybody?
I think you say silver bells. Yeah, you go higher a little bit.
Christmas time in the city.
That's pretty good. Kristen, are we close with any of those notes?
Did we get the notes? That was pretty good, actually.
We were harmonizing a little bit.
We do have an audience member, Kristen Schmaltz, who is listening.
Kristen.
Say hello, Kristen. Hi.
Say a little louder.
Hi.
Thank you.
There we go.
Right.
And that's number one special that we're together.
Yes.
Number two is, this is the post-Star Wars episode.
The Force Awakens one-shot.
This is all we're talking about.
Yeah. Yep. If you haven't seen it yet, shut us off.
Spoiler number one.
Because it's going to be spoiler alert number one. Spoiler filled.
Yes. So turn us off.
Nothing is off limits.
This is holding back.
This is my advice right now.
Turn us off.
Turn it off. Go see the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Immediately. If you haven't seen it,
go see it.
Because we're going to
walk out your front door, or if you're in a vehicle, stop your vehicle.
Go to the theater.
Program Google Maps.
Maybe they can.
Program Google Maps.
I like your stop the vehicle program Google Maps.
Yes.
That's good. That's safe. Safe driving, everyone. Buzzer.
I promote safety.
Brothers Geek audience.
Stop your vehicle.
Before you use Google Maps.
Yes. Stop your vehicle.
Okay.
See, I'm the...
All right.
Hey, okay.
There are impressionable teenage listeners.
Jesus.
They need to learn the rules of safe drive. So stop Google Maps to your nearest theater and see the movie immediately.
I'm sorry, because we don't see each other very often, so the the schmaltz
we're turning
is
up to
on
11.
11.
Oh, we're turning up to 11.
Yes.
It's going to be three solid days of this.
What
do
you oh, my Lord.
So,
the high point of the year.
Okay. Let's just give a, like a, I want a one word answer from each of us. What
before
did we think?
Before
of,
we do that,
the, hold on, Chris has something to say.
Before we do that, don't we want to like talk about the news and what the movie has done? Like
okay.
little
let's start with that.
Let's
objective
some,
factoids.
Let's okay. give objective.
We always do
factoids.
A little bit of noise, a little bit of news.
So let's follow that a little bit. But then,
yeah,
one the
word,
one word. I like the one word.
Word.
Yep, yep.
One okay. word review.
Okay. This is the numbers as we know them. We're recording at 9:30 Mountain Standard Time.
Tuesday
night. Mm-hmm. The total.
No, Wednesday.
It's
Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday
night.
Oh my God.
December 23rd.
December
23rd. Yeah, it is Wednesday.
As of right now, Box Office Mojo is reporting the total domestic box office is $325
million. In 5 days.
Fastest ever to $300
million.
It's broken virtually every single record for an movie opening
weekend.
Like
ever.
And then worldwide, estimated $364 million. Total box office gross to date, $689 million.
And it hasn't opened. It hasn't opened in China.
Nope.
And China is the number two movie market in the world.
Yep. It is the number one opening weekend.
It is on track to break Avatar's record.
It is the
Whoa.
Number one opening day gross. It
is
the number
the,
one
is,
single day
what
gross.
What is Avatar's like record? It's like
$2.7 billion, I
something
think.
Something like
2.7
that.
Billion.
Or
yeah.
2.2? I heard
it's... No, like, I think it's a higher number.
Here we go.
Almost
single
three.
For
all time.
Single highest Friday ever, single highest Monday ever, single highest Sunday ever, and single highest Tuesday ever. The only record it didn't break was the single highest
Saturday.
Crazy.
Dude.
Crazy.
Yeah. So
it's huge.
What does
it's
that
huge.
Mean?
It's huge.
What does that mean?
It made a lot of money. It
made a lot of money.
Already, and it's only going to
make
more.
What does it mean?
It will continue to make more because... It's fucking great.
It's
like,
fucking great. It is fucking great.
This is
like I don't. We're not an F word podcast, but that's the reason.
Okay, but you started when I interrupted you.
Yeah.
You started to ask a question
of
us
one
about
word,
the
give
one
us
word.
One word of review. One word.
Satisfying.
Satisfying. That is good. That is good. That works for me too. That's excellent.
Satisfying. So explain that. Explain it.
Okay.
Now,
why
now go
why
with
were you satisfied?
Why was I satisfied?
Yep.
Because we've talked about this movie. We've hyped it up so much.
Mm-hmm.
We had so much hope for this movie. And we didn't. We couldn't totally articulate what we wanted. But
we knew
it.
Well, we knew what we didn't want, which
we,
was a repeat of episodes 1 through 3.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So we knew
if we knew how to make if we knew how to make a perfect Star Wars movie,
right.
we would make a perfect Star Wars
right,
movie.
Right,
we would
right.
do that.
We
don't know how to
know,
do that.
Right.
That's why J.J. Abrams is now ridiculously
he can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants.
Do whatever he wants.
He was. I mean, he was probably A-list before. Mm-hmm. Now he is in the upper pantheon with Joss Whedon,
sure.
with Cameron, with Spielberg,
right.
with those types to the point where
Fincher,
where he is elite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is literally in the elite. So we didn't know how to make a perfect Star Wars movie. Did J.J. Abrams make a perfect Star Wars movie? Yes, he did.
Perfect.
For what I wanted,
perfect.
I did not
we'll,
walk.
We'll come
I,
back.
I've
we'll
seen
come,
the
come back to the perfect.
We'll come,
okay.
back, to
come
perfect.
Back to the perfect.
Okay,
Christopher, do you have a one word? Do you? I have my one. If
go,
you need
go
time.
Ahead, I need more time.
Chris is very wordy. So
I'm trying to find
my,
the perfect
my,
word.
My word down. has an explanation, but respectful. Because my word is respectful because I feel like the film respected. Like what we wanted out of it. It respected what we've seen before and it didn't try to like make anything too crazy, but it tried to do the thing that we wanted. The thing that we needed it to be. You know, it wasn't like fantastic, crazy movie making, but it was like respected what had happened before it.
See, I think I'm gonna build on that point
yes.
a little bit. But it's not a fanboy movie. It's not a movie.
No.
It's made by somebody who loves Star Wars.
Right.
But it's not a movie made with total commitment to, you know what, this is what the fandom wants, X, Y, and Z. I'm going to give them everything they want.
Right.
Data doesn't do that. It goes beyond that. And it makes a very satisfying film. Just like we always say, Empire is not only the best Star Wars movie, it's a great movie.
Sure.
This is a great movie.
It's a good but not great movie. It's what I wanted out of it. Like, that's what I would say.
Okay.
Like, I feel like there's definitely flaws, but it's not like a movie that I'm like, oh man, it's changing filmmaking. I feel like Avatar changed filmmaking. I feel like...
Well, but, I mean, the original Star Wars doesn't rise to that definition.
The original Star Wars changed filmmaking. Like, all these...
It didn't break any ground in terms of storytelling or otherwise.
But
maybe
but
from
special
a,
effects-wise,
well,
it
but
did.
Yeah, yeah, but that... I mean,
filmmaking-wise, it did.
I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, it wasn't... It's not a great... Here's the right... I'm trying to figure out the right way to put this. The original Star Wars is not a Godfather.
No.
It's not a...
It's not even Jaws.
Yeah.
If you think it doesn't even rise to that level.
Mm-hmm.
It does something very
but
specific.
It taps into
right.
Yes.
Something new that nobody knew they were missing. And so that's the definition in my mind
yeah.
of why it's a great movie.
The 70s were full of angry angsty movies, and then Star Wars comes along.
It's just an adventure film, fantastic adventure. Throwback to adventure films,
with relatable, fun characters,
iconic tale mm-hmm. of hero.
Yeah,
okay.
The
so
hero's
we're
journey.
We're talking
all of
about
that.
The first movie, but we should be talking about the seventh movie.
Right.
But it fits. It fits into the entire genre.
That's why it's satisfying.
It fits into the genre.
You still
got to
give
that.
Us your word.
Yeah. Your yeah. word. You got a word?
My word is wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah. Full of wonder.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because I was hopeful, but also
mature.
because we got so burned by
yeah.
one
yeah.
through three.
I was so afraid. I was sitting in that theater.
You even said,
afraid.
Though,
yeah.
on a recent Wii Watch, the one through three aren't as terrible as...
I really did.
Yeah, you said this to me.
I did, and so we did a rewatch, and in fact, my memory was incorrect. I thought that again, we're talking about the other movies, but
yeah,
we got to put it in context.
We got to put it in context.
So my memory of the first three was that the connection, the emotional connection of Anakin and Padme was horrific. There was
yeah.
no warmth. There was nothing mm-hmm. there. In fact, there is some.
Yeah.
But it's more than what I... It's not great.
The dialogue between them is...
But the dialogue is terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, it's they're poorly written. So anyway, we're not going to... Anyway, I find Episode 7 wonderful because for many, many reasons.
Yeah.
It fulfilled every expectation that I had with regard to it being a very good movie... And fit perfectly within the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
All three of our words have like similar, like, we all talk about what we were expecting and what we
and
got out of it.
My third, and the other reason why I found it wonderful is that I found the new characters especially,
yeah.
to be exactly what I wanted and hoped for.
And
yes.
It, probably better than any other Star Wars characters.
For sure.
Because Rey... is like a strong female
I'm
character.
I'm so excited for that. For her being the star and be
right.
the centerpiece
yes.
of the light, it made me so happy.
Yeah, if you haven't,
just the thought
you,
of
you
it
know,
still,
huge spoilers,
just, makes
she's
me
the,
so,
I, she's the Jedi
so
of the film.
Happy.
I'm so excited
but
about
like,
that.
They don't like... you don't know that going in. You think that Finn is going to be...
He's holding the lightsaber in the trailers, until the very end.
That's straight up J.J. Abrams
just trolling people.
Yeah, trolling. Which is awesome. I mean...
It's a misdirection. It's not trolling, it's misdirection.
That moment where she picks it up is so much better because you never see that in any trailer.
Right.
You never see that.
Right.
And in that film, in that moment, you're like, yes.
The trailers did such a good job of teasing and suggesting questions and really not providing answers. It just raised issues. And so the movie was so great. Mm-hmm. And the payoff of all of those characters, the only thing that was even a slight letdown, we'll get to letdowns.
We'll get to letdowns. Yeah.
But that was my word. I just thought it was a wonderful film.
Yes, a wonderful
Star Wars film.
Okay. Yeah.
It made me really happy.
I have another question for the group. Yeah. What is your favorite scene or scenes and describe why?
Okay,
I have one that's very good. I'll start off.
Go ahead. Since
I had time to think about this.
Yeah,
there's a moment where Finn first gets to Jakku, and he's like looking for water, and then he sees Rey getting attacked.
Yeah.
By a couple of guys who are trying to steal
BB-8.
Yeah. They're trying to steal BB-8, and he is like a good dude who is going to his sister. Right. He runs over.
He's going to help. He thinks that she's the damsel in distress.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And everybody has that moment, too, in the theater.
He's got to help her out. He's got to save her.
And that's how their connection is going to happen.
Right.
No. She kicks those two guys' asses.
Yeah.
And he stops, and there's this moment of like, huh. Like,
I feel like an a-hole for like thinking that she needs my help.
This is great.
It. Right, right.
Because... she's a strong female character that doesn't need help.
She's a survivor. She's been living on Jakku by herself.
Freaking great. Yeah. And it's amazing.
It tees her up exactly the right way in that she is a lone survivor.
Lone survivor.
She's been living on her own, yes. Right? She doesn't need to be saved.
At the same time, though.
I love
that.
I love that moment.
Yes. That moment is so good and my favorite moment.
But at the same time, we talk about her being a lone survivor. There's nothing cynical.
No.
About Rey. Rey is the most hopeful person in the whole story.
Yeah, she's not angry.
She's not angry. She is waiting, and she's hopeful that her family will come back to her.
And in a way that she's like Luke, she's hearing about all these things happen, and she wants to fight for good.
Yes.
Like, she's a good person that wants... BB-8 comes to her with a problem.
She has an inherent kindness.
She saves BB-8.
She's an inherent kindness.
She saves BB-8.
And she doesn't want to sell BB-8 when she's offered lots of food, money, whatever is valued to her.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to sell it because it's not right.
Yeah.
So it's like her character is so good.
Yeah. She's a befriend. And it's genuine. That's the other thing.
It's not a...
stilted, this is the hero's tale.
Yes.
It's not stilted in any way, where the first three have that stilted tone that the original three don't have.
This is an epic story. We're really noble.
This is nobility. It's an epic story of evil.
That's what the first three
is the epic story of evil, right? And so it's gotta be epic with a capital E. Where this Episode 7 is a genuine tale about human beings with human problems in a universe that has the Force.
Right.
And lightsabers.
Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite scene that you could talk about? Does anything come to mind? I have a second if you need more time.
Yes, I have a favorite scene.
Okay.
My favorite scene is the confrontation between Kylo Ren and Rey when she's a prisoner. And he's so awesome. He essentially triggers in her, her Force ability and connection.
Right,
it like loosens something in her that they did such a good job. Those two actors did such a good job. There's no words or very little words, but they did such a good job of portraying that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a force struggle.
He's trying to force her
to reveal what she
and
is in her head.
And we've already seen him do that to Poe Dameron earlier, right. So we know that, like, he can
do
it.
He has some of that ability. Right. Right? And that moment where they are in conflict and that loosens or, you know, lets...
Triggers
her connection with the... Stronger connection with the Force mm-hmm. is a great scene because it's purely those two actors...
Right.
Portraying something that requires no dialogue is just, and we all believe it. I mean, that's the thing is you're watching it and it's like, this is happening right now. And this is great. These are two people who are on opposite ends of the spectrum in this world and they are struggling against one another. And the bad guy, you see him because of the previous example with Poe,
mm-hmm.
you see him struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a.
He's got some rage issues.
Great scene.
He's got some.
He's a petulant child.
Andrew,
my favorite, honestly,
Something
that stands out for me. After the First Order attacks Maz Kanata's castle,
yeah,
and and the Resistance shows up,
yeah,
and the X-wings are flying across the lake, mm-hmm. and the First Order mm-hmm. is waiting for them to arrive, and. There's a sequence where, and it's pure kind of Saturday morning kind of hokey,
mm-hmm.
where Poe Dameron is flying around in his X-Wing and is just...
What a great scene.
He's smoking.
You're talking about scene number two for me, because it's one...
That's a great pilot, Finn. Whatever the line is. And he just smokes
Finn, like five different TIE fighters.
Finn
is running on the ground, and you see him in the foreground,
yes.
and in the background, you just see Poe just X-Wing weight.
Smoking
just,
fools
just
in his X-Wing.
One after another.
It's so...
That is a great scene.
Joyful.
You're right.
And it's like one shot.
Awesome.
It's one really long tracking shot.
Flying around. It's so great.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's one of the best moments.
That's a shot that we never see in the original three movies. That is a filmmaker shot.
Yes.
And that's, it's awesome because it combines real world effects and also special effects.
It's J.J. Abrams bringing something to the table.
So good.
He's not just making a.
Yep. Here's a question.
You got a question?
Because we talk about J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any lens flares in this movie?
There is some Star Wars. There's some lightsaber lens flares at the end of the movie. If you notice, yeah. There's definitely lens flares.
The lightsaber. Can we comment?
It's so understated that you don't. You don't even register.
But people always, you know,
they give him a hard time.
They give him a hard time for all his lens flares.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even.
He absolutely toned it down.
Tone it down.
The lightsaber battle
in the snow
was awesome.
They're
cutting through trees.
It's beautiful filmmaking. It's legit.
It's not episode one lightsaber battle, Duel of the Fates, you know, Mace Windu.
See, I've read some criticism how does she know how to do that? And here's the response to that. She kicked those dudes' ass on Jakku.
She
knows how to fight and wield a weapon.
She can handle herself.
She wields that.
It's like a quarterstaff.
Exactly.
Right. Of course she's going to be able to do that.
The only thing I would criticize was... How does Finn stand up to him at all? That's what I would.
Well, he loses.
He's toying.
He loses.
The second time I watched it,
yeah,
Adam Driver does such a good job of portraying the idea
he
that he's
right.
totally. He's not even trying.
It's
right.
A cruel
he's like punching himself
he
in his
toying.
Like shot yeah. stomach.
He
yeah.
is toying with Finn.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
he's not. He could finish him off in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
but he chooses not to do that.
And as soon
it's
as
his body language,
he gets
the next time
the
we watch
drop
it,
on.
Watch his body language. Mm-hmm. It's not about him killing him.
And as soon as he gets the drop on him,
yep.
Like as soon as like Finn like wins a little
he
bit,
he touches him.
He's done.
Done.
Yep. You're
he's
done.
He's like, all right.
He's like, this fight's over.
Yeah, right.
Fight, I'm done.
That's exactly right.
Right. Okay.
So it's not Finn hanging with him.
Right.
It's Kylo Ren.
See, I've only seen it the once.
Him.
These two guys have seen it twice already.
Yes,
I saw it in IMAX 3D the second time, and I normally don't like 3D. It's okay.
It was okay.
It didn't take away from the movie.
See, I saw it in regular.
I really want to see it in IMAX.
Okay, let's talk about.
Should we go see IMAX 3D the next time? The second time?
If not IMAX, I'd say we just see it on a big screen.
I would love to see 3D for number two because I would see it.
Okay. I want to see it in all formants.
So do I.
Right. Yeah. I haven't seen it in 3D.
Let's take it down a second and let's talk about how we saw it the first time. Okay. Give a little report on that. Yeah. Pat, when and where did you go and who did you go
I was at Clackamas Town Center in Portland, Oregon, in Clackamas. and I saw it. I got there way early and the theater was not that full, but all the theaters ended up filling up big time.
Yeah.
You know, I got when I went to episode one, I was like 8 hours early. So this one I was like 3 hours early and it wasn't that full, but we got really good seats and it was Gabriella, Shane and I, we saw the 10 o'clock showing. I would think it was perfect. Very full. People were into it.
Anybody dressed up?
Tons of people dressed up.
Really?
I lost track of Star Wars shirts after 15. I started counting.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was ubiquitous.
Yeah, just everybody wearing something
but
Star Wars.
But like cosplaying.
There was only a couple of cosplayers in my theater, but they were all over the place.
Yeah.
They were all over the place.
Okay. Chris, when did you first see it? You saw it in Tucson.
Thursday night show, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. In Tucson.
In Tucson.
How full was your show?
It was full. Yeah.
Very full.
Was it a good theater? Did it look good?
It wasn't a good theater.
Oh, wow.
It was sort of a middling size screen and crappy seats. I was bummed.
That's sad.
And the sound system was kind of weak.
I wish they had turned mine up just a touch more. I wanted to feel it more.
The sound system was weak.
I wanted to feel it more.
And so that's why I insisted that weekend. We went to see it at Cine Capri.
Which is the best.
And that, it's so
awesome. I
want
to hear,
awesome.
I want to go to a theater where they're going to punch it a little.
Well, we got to go see Cine Capri.
Cine Capri's
the second time
You think that's going to be full as hell on Chris's day, though? We're going to try.
Sure.
We always go see a movie on Chris's day. That's like our...
Yeah, it'll be
that's
very,
a lot of people's
be
tradition,
full.
But it'll be very full on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I saw it 7 o'clock on Thursday with Adria.
That's an early showing.
It's the very first show.
Yeah.
It's the first showing.
That's when they were allowed to start.
Yeah,
seven.
It's the very first show times they had in the valley. Which
was
7.
Yeah.
On Thursday, and I tried to get tickets for Cine Capri, but it sold out in less than 30 minutes online.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was in a smaller theater in the same Cineplex as the Cine Capri, but it was 100% full. Even in the front row corners, it was full. I lost track of the number of people who brought lightsabers.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah,
lot.
Toy lightsabers. I think 50% of the people that were there.
I thought about bringing mine.
I don't own one, much to my chagrin. I need a really good one. I need to spend like $100.
Comic-Con sells them.
Well, I mean, I have Luke's blue one.
I need
the
to,
one that they use in the
yeah.
The
I
movie.
Need to get that one.
So I have that.
That has now become Rey's lightsaber. I have that question for all of you.
Oh,
I have a question that I want us to discuss.
Yes.
At the end of the film,
when
Rey finds Luke and seeks him out, and she gets to the top of that mountain.
Yeah.
She presents him
before you do that. I would like to say I was going to be super disappointed if they didn't show Luke at all in the movie.
Yeah.
And I was very satisfied with that end.
Yes.
Because, like,
me too.
I didn't want them to go through a whole rigmarole,
but
they definitely, like, here, this is where he is. But they were going to be like, we still don't know. We have the map, but we don't know. I was going to be pissed.
And we had, for the last 6 podcasts, we've been speculating about plot points and things like that. And so I would, it tells us why.
What was your question? I'm sorry.
J.J. Abrams is a movie maker and we're not because our speculation was he's killed. Kylo Ren kills him.
Yes.
So much better.
Someone died.
So much better. So much better. We can talk about that death.
Yeah.
But so much better the way they did it in terms of having him appear in the final seconds of the film.
I completely agree. My question is this. She gets to the top of this mountain. She presents him. She's holding the lightsaber out to him. Is she saying, train me, or is she saying, come back and save us? Which is she saying, or is it totally something else?
I feel like it's a, I don't even feel like it's either of those. I feel like it's a, this is your lightsaber, it belongs to you here, like I'm bringing it back to you, but like obviously
is it the implicit message is that come back and save us? Like Kylo has killed.
I feel like it's come back, you know, train me so that I can save us.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of the feel I got was, I have your lightsaber, I have questions. Because she touched that thing and saw a bunch of visions. She was starting to see visions, and she was drawn to it.
Yeah.
There's been no, like, force visions since Empire Strikes Back, where Luke was having visions in the swamp of killing...
Of his friends being tortured.
Right.
Yes.
And like, him killing Darth Vader and it being him, like... And so, force visions.
Right.
So she's having visions of... Oh, Kylo Ren doing stuff, and we see Luke and
Archie. And her childhood.
Yes. Her childhood. Like, what is that connection?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think she has questions, and he's I want answers. That's what that.
I mean, I think it's out of the tradition of Master, this is yours.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I am presenting this to you because I'm not currently worthy to hold it as mine. This is your lightsaber.
That's pretty cool.
So this is her accepting her identity as a I need a teacher.
Because I am a Jedi. Clearly I've got some of this.
Okay.
But I need.
Yeah.
I need you to help me figure it out. And this lightsaber is not mine. It's clearly yours.
But that goes further towards Luke left. Yeah. He abandoned his role as
the Jedi Master. He left because some crap went down, which I hope we get more of. Like, we get the answers of what happened with
how Kylo got corrupted.
Why he got corrupted, how, and then...
Oh, yeah, we'll get Snoke. We'll get Snoke's background.
Who are... Like, because we get a flash of Kylo Ren standing around six others.
Those are the Knights of Ren.
Oh, there's like
when
a
they
bunch
laid
of,
wait,
a bunch
they
of
laid because that's all. That's a one line in the movie. But you were the Master of the Knights of Ren.
Snoke says that to him.
Yeah,
you are the Master of the Knights of Ren. But
so there's
never
a bunch of them.
Seems to be.
Right.
There's like
but we
six.
Don't know what they are.
We don't know if they're all Force users.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
Mind blown. Yeah. Yes. Because I was like, what does that mean? Who are those guys?
Right.
Why?
Is Kylo Ren... I mean, it could be as simple as it's just Kylo Ren's special ops team.
Right.
Yeah.
That
Specials,
are
division,
badass, you know, that don't use lightsabers. They use, you know, those static
pikes or something.
Static electric
pikes.
But because
yeah,
we don't
whatever,
see
that,
them
that stormtrooper
again during
was.
That one shot.
Right, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I have
so much. I mean, there's a lot of questions, a ton of unanswered stuff.
Who is like Rey's parents? Why did they leave her on Jakku? Are we going to find that out?
I mean,
out?
You're a filmmaker, Pat. What is the reason? There is only one reason why you would include a shot of the ship.
Yeah.
That's flying away.
Yeah.
You include a. This is my speculation. You include a shot of the ship that flies away because. You're going to show that ship in subsequent movies.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other reason to show that ship other than the shape of that ship, what that ship is a key point. And so we're going to recognize it in a subsequent movie, either the next one or the third one.
Yeah.
It's going to be revealed. Someone is flying that thing, and it'll be like, uh-oh. That's a callback to the vision in Episode 7.
Now I need to watch
that.
Because I don't remember what that ship looks like.
It lingers on it.
Yeah.
And it pauses and watches it fly away. There's only one reason to do that.
Well, and there's also other shots in the movie of...
Her
Rey,
watching
ships
leave.
Fly away.
Because she's always waiting for them
she
to come back.
She has that memory
as a
child.
What's great is, like, you don't know why she stays. Like, you have no idea why she's stuck. You feel like she's just, like, stuck or whatever.
Yeah.
But she could leave.
She's
and
a pilot, right.
She clearly has the
she
skills.
She could leave and doesn't.
That's another thing
she
that I love about this.
She needs to go back to Jakku after she's done
she
because
is,
she's waiting.
She is the most capable.
Freaking great.
She is the most capable character we encounter. She is mechanical. She can handle herself. She speaks languages. It, for me, completely evokes the idea of her being connected to everything around her. She has an inherent ability to connect with everything and everyone and understand them, just adding to her ability with the Force. Because Anakin Skywalker was a tinkerer and could build things and was a pilot. So was Luke, was a tinkerer and could build things and was a pilot. And so is Rey.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So it pulls all of that.
It creates
the question, is she part of the family tree?
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing.
Is she a Skywalker?
See, part of me hopes not.
Exactly. I honestly don't want her to be.
Right.
A little bit. I mean, would it be cool? It's like, oh my God. Luke Skywalker's daughter. Yeah, I mean, that's a cool idea. But
why would he abandon her on Jakku?
Like, what would motivate...
To protect her from
Snoke?
He's the most powerful Jedi, the only Jedi in the universe.
Right, yeah.
She's going to be safe next to him.
Perhaps we'll find out who Snoke is.
Maybe she's
connected to Snoke.
No. Here's the bigger question. Does Luke feel guilt because he is responsible for Kylo?
Sure.
Not that he couldn't protect his people, but because something he did directly affected Kylo turning to the dark side.
It's kind of like
he made
Obi-Wan or Yoda going off and like being alone because they feel like their job is done or whatever, or they...
Yoda was hiding out.
They were both hiding.
I mean, they were...
Yeah.
Which, maybe. Part of me has never understood.
Me either.
But there's a rationale.
Well, the prequels give a terrible answer for why he's hiding out. But, like, I feel like he's hiding because the Jedi are dead and he was... kind of responsible for training the bringer of the end, and Luke has that same feeling. Like he trained.
I mean, if we want to look at it,
that killed all these.
If we want to look at it in the most cynical way possible, Yoda and Obi-Wan made the choice to hide and survive so that they could basically fashion Luke into a weapon to destroy his own father.
I've heard this theory from you before that Luke is not like a real Jedi Knight. He's like a Vader destroyer.
He's a weapon.
Yeah, he's not like a real Jedi. Like he's
Yoda's more zen than that, dude.
Yeah.
Yoda's more zen than that.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the most simple explanation.
We got to have balance.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's not in Yoda to, cock the weapon and fire.
Yoda has literally witnessed atrocities, though.
I understand.
And what does that drive someone?
Yoda is all...
And it's all about his
bigger picture. He's a bigger picture guy.
That he wasn't able to prevent it. The dark side grew right in front of him, and he never saw it.
Yeah,
and he lost.
Anakin was not Yoda's Padawan.
He's the Grand Master of the Jedi Order, and he wasn't able to see Palpatine sitting right
but
in front of him.
But he's always big picture.
Just another flaw. Of the
okay,
prequels,
so,
in my opinion.
So we got to talk about the death.
Okay, so that moment where Kylo Ren shanks Han Solo.
Yes.
Kills Han Solo.
The lead up is fantastic.
It's so pure, perfect cinema.
It's fantastic.
Well, because Leia has said to
him, it's devoid of emotion.
Really?
Yes.
Oh no, I was totally sucked in.
Nope. It is. Not nearly as powerful as it should have been. This is in my perspective.
Wow.
Yep. J.J. Abrams got lazy. This is my view. Lazy in the lead up to that key moment in that he's relying on all of our emotional connection to Han. And he didn't do an effective job of building up the emotional connection of Han with Kylo Ren. And that lead up.
See, I don't see that.
It wasn't enough. I was disappointed. I was disappointed in that moment because I wanted to have a more gut-wrenching reaction, and it wasn't there.
Here's the two things that you're missing. One, Han Solo says to Leia, "I saw our son," and that moment was like he was like, "I've seen him," like, and he didn't say anything. Like, he didn't try to stop him then. Mm. And then Leia talks to him about, I feel like we can redeem him. Like, he has good in him still.
Yeah.
And that's why Han comes out of the shadows. He's hiding, and Kylo doesn't
see
him.
I get all that.
And that moment of, like, I need to fix you. Like, you're messed up, and I want to be there for you. I'm your dad. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I felt great about that. I was like, oh my God, I see what's happening. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it
wasn't enough.
Doesn't go.
I wanted goosebumps. I wanted gut wrenching, and it wasn't that. It just wasn't. It wasn't that.
Okay.
That's that. And that moment should be absolutely gut wrenching and tragic. And it was more of a, okay, yeah, that, I mean, that's terrible. But I didn't have that. There wasn't enough of that emotional connection
When Chewie saw him die, I was like, oh, man.
That
hurt me.
Chewie's reaction is the reaction I wanted to have.
Right.
And I didn't.
Mm.
And that's, I think it's a miss.
Chewie reacted.
I think it's the only emotional.
Blasted him.
I think it's the only emotional miss of the movie.
Right.
Is that moment just didn't connect enough.
That's interesting.
For me. Yeah.
I mean, that's a good critique, and I don't necessarily disagree. I think my take on it was more that it was a very artfully constructed moment, in the sense that you have the two of them meeting on this bridge. They're isolated.
Oh, it was.
It's beautifully
trust
shot.
Trust me, it was perfectly executed.
The red and the black colors and how they changed.
It preyed on all of our expectations from previous movies.
Yes.
Of the good guy always is able to appeal to the, and you think, okay, this is great. This is a redemption moment.
Mm-hmm. And Adam Driver,
and we're all
does
having
a
that
fantastic
reaction.
Way. I mean, the best part. I mean, Adam Driver, honestly, in this movie, he is a very intimidating presence.
Oh yeah,
you feel that on screen.
He's
when he walks
he's
into the shot,
hell,
when
he can
when
just
he's
kill
there,
anybody
you
at
feel
any
he is he will Vader's, kill you.
Vader's like that too. He just smokes fools.
Well, and
constantly.
here's why that scene with Han is on the bridge is so effective, because if you think about it. There is no deceit in Adam Driver.
No. Mm-hmm.
Everything he says is the truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no... We're all interpreting what he says.
Right. As he's...
As,
right.
This is great.
He was going
to... Han is there to help.
Yeah.
He's reaching out to his father for help.
But really, he's thinking about...
And everything
about,
he says...
He has to kill... I got to kill my dad. I want you to help
me
with it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so good, is that everything out of it... there's no deception.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
no,
that's what it pays off so well that because of that sequence.
The three characters, Kylo Ren, Finn, and Rey, are all very interesting and have interesting ideas to them.
Yep.
They all are
yep.
compelling.
Yes.
They all have their own arcs.
For
yes.
sure.
They all have, like, we haven't talked about Finn at all, John Boyega, but like, he is a stormtrooper that chose to not murder.
Right.
He's in that moment of like, wait a second, I've been trained to do this my whole life. Because we've only seen stormtroopers just dumb idiots who shoot.
Or clones that are raised
mindless,
and conditioned their whole
right.
lives to follow orders.
Mindless bad guys.
Yeah.
He's the first stormtrooper that
clearly
says,
not clones this time
nope,
around.
Clearly
no
not clones.
Yeah.
So I am choosing not
to slaughter the villagers.
Right.
Right.
And he chooses to save the pilot to get out.
Yeah.
Like, I got to get out of this.
Yep.
This is not good.
Yep.
This might be a bit of a reach. Now we're on the topic.
And a
of
very thing. Interesting idea.
This
very,
is a big reach.
Like, I
this
love
is
that.
A big reach. It's a big reach, but I had this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in the back of J.J. Abrams' brain when he picks a black man to play a stormtrooper who rejects the stormtrooper life because he doesn't want to do the violence that inherent in a stormtrooper's life? Is it Abrams, on some level, with some kind of commentary towards, like, the kidnapped African warlord types Like, they take the kid, they take the little black kids from the village, and they train them, and they, you know,
to be the warriors.
The warriors.
Stormtroopers.
Is he trying to evoke a little bit of that? The stolen children, the lost boys, those kind of guys.
I
went there.
Well,
like, I had the thought. Deep thought.
Stormtroopers and Star Wars have always been like an allegory for like Nazis.
No question. I mean, that's the First Order.
Trying to cleanse
the First Order
Earth,
is straight right. up. Right. Yeah. Right, yeah, First Order is straight
cleansing.
Up. Yeah.
And so using like but stolen it call, it, like
is
children?
Abrams using the issue of a black stormtrooper. To kind of give us that, to play on that idea.
I don't think it's like that. I think that they were probably just trying to like, hey, there's no black people in these movies. We got
Lando
like,
Calrissian.
He's right. the only one.
Right,
yeah.
right. He's not like, I want a main character to be.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's a
like not white.
But
yeah,
I think not a white dude, you know? Why there's some credence to your comment, Andrew, is that there is a line that says that I was taken from
as a child. The only name they ever gave me is my stormtrooper designation.
Right. I love that. Right. And then
Dameron humanizes him.
The scene where they're in the freaking TIE fighter is so awesome.
So good.
And their interaction of them, like, getting out of there and their buddy moments.
It's human.
The buddy moment.
That's exactly what it is.
He just names him Finn.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to call you that.
I'm not going to call you FN2187. I'm not going to call you that.
And then he
calls you Finn.
He's
like,
cool.
Yeah, Finn.
And then they're shooting their way out of
a Star Destroyer.
It's a great scene.
So fun.
So fun.
This movie is fun.
Fun. For sure.
It is full on.
It hits all the hits all the right things that you want from a Star Wars movie.
Looks amazing, and fun as hell.
The scene
where Rey and him are flying the Millennium Falcon, when they reveal the Millennium Falcon,
awesome.
I can't
great,
drive that.
Great moment. Like,
it's garbage.
That's garbage.
It's garbage.
And it's just hilarious.
Like, awesome.
Yes.
It's like and goosebump they, moment. It's like, oh, holy shit.
And they get
that's
in that
great.
And they fly and it's awesome.
She
awesome.
Scrapes the sand with the thing. I mean, that.
Just
I mean,
sick.
It's just great.
It's
great.
Just amazing.
Yep.
And it doesn't stop.
Right.
It's like.
But
so
when it does, it's still. You're still sucked in because.
Right.
There's no wasted moments.
There's no wasted
Every
moments.
Scene reveals something or
right.
alludes to something
yeah.
or pulls you deeper into
yeah.
the mystery of one of these people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wasted moments. And it's not like it's a breathless kind of just stamp straight ahead and you have to get somewhere.
I have one more question. Who is Max von Sydow? Do you think they're going to reveal who that guy is?
I've read online the dude's name.
Yeah.
And what I read was that character, his name, will be in Rogue One.
Oh. So he's like a member of the original Rebel Alliance.
That stole the plans to the Death
Damn.
Star.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
Because, his character is in it and gone
and
that.
You never hear his name.
Yeah.
But
you allude to the
there is other resources that say, and I'm forgetting his name, but the speculation is that pure speculation is that there's only one way he would be connected and a trusted person of Leia is that if he was part of the team that stole the Death Star plans.
Yes,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
he's connected through that. I'm trying to scroll through the characters.
And it's revealed.
His is
Lor-San Tekka.
We found it at the
same
time.
Lor-San Tekka.
Lor-San Tekka.
Right.
All right, let's look up Rogue One.
I wanted more Captain Phasma.
Yeah, that was an underutilized.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I wanted more. I wanted more Poe Dameron.
Yeah.
I think
I would have liked more Poe. He was good.
His key scene is the kick-ass scene.
Yeah.
Yes.
like the shot we talked about.
Yeah, but I a little bit more of him. Why he got off the planet?
He's got the best line in the movie, though.
What's that?
At the very beginning, when he gets captured and they push him on down on his knees, and he's just he's looking at Kylo Ren, and Kylo
nothing.
Ren's just staring
he's
at him.
Nothing,
he's just and he's like, "Do you talk first or do I talk first?" It's just awesome. It's so badass.
Well, even better than that is you learn so much about his character as they have him in. They're escorting him. They have him in custody, and he looks at the floating bolt.
He's like, "What? How does this work?"
And he's like, "Holy shit!"
How does
and the reaction on his face
that's
is like,
cool.
"Oh my god!"
He stopped the bolt.
He stopped the bolt.
So
that is that's weird.
So
that look on his face is so good at that moment. It's like, damn.
I had this moment of like they pull him around and they have this whole conversation, and then. The whole scene happens, and I'm like, wait, what happened to the bolt? What happened to the bolt?
Yeah.
And they satisfy that moment.
Exactly, the bolt.
Right.
Because Kylo walks away.
Yeah.
He's still holding it.
It's crackling. It's crackling.
His brain is still holding it.
Yeah.
He's still, he's doing all
that. And then
he
lets it go.
And then he lets it go.
Yeah.
And then,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
I was like, what?
Yes.
It's a great scene. Yeah.
Last thoughts. We've been talking about Star Wars.
It's a one shot. So
yeah. So last thoughts about Force Awakens. What do we think? What are we thinking for the next one?
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah,
I saw an article today on Polygon. I will credit Polygon for this. That J.J. Abrams was quoted saying, "The script for Episode 8 is so good. I wish I would have directed it."
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be directed by Rainn Johnson, who's Looper, Brick.
Who's a great filmmaker.
Bloom Brothers.
He's a great
The
filmmaker.
Brothers Bloom.
Brothers Bloom.
Yeah.
He's a great filmmaker.
He's really good.
I mean, that makes me really happy.
Yeah.
So the script, at least, is going to be bomb.
Yeah.
So as long as they can... Yeah.
Well, it's going to be... I mean, you've got parallel training stories...
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
You got the reveal of the first Jedi Temple.
Yep.
What the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're going to the source of the Force.
More of the
kind
Ren,
of thing.
Those guys in the Vision.
Far more of the Knights of Ren, right?
Far more of Snoke.
We're going to learn about Snoke and what the hell he is.
Good. There's a lot of questions.
Is
Finn okay? Because he got his... Like spine cut in half.
Maybe.
Yeah, he got
messed up. He got a little messed up. So
yeah,
is he gonna be all right? Because you never see him wake up.
I'm not that worried about Episode 8. I think it'll be great. I'm basking in the glow of 7.
Basking in the glow.
I remain.
We literally have like.
I'm gonna see it at least a couple more times.
Yeah, right. We have Rogue
and
One before
Episode 8.
That's the sign of a great Star Wars movie. Is I want to see it over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah.
I caught more in the second time.
So did I.
I want to see it the second time.
I'm excited about the third time.
Being a person that's only seen it once and wanting to see it a second time, the first time I was like fixated on, is this going to be okay?
Right.
Yeah.
And
no,
so
I was,
you
I was
don't,
the same way.
I don't enjoy
and
it
you're,
as much.
And it's a sigh of
it's
relief.
Better,
you
right?
have a sigh of relief. It's like
better.
You're watching it all time. I'm literally,
now
I was watching it think,
right.
Please be good.
Please
be good.
Right.
Please be good.
Just
please
be good.
Good.
And then you're like,
and I'm not
and
paying that close
like,
attention.
Right. But then you're like, holy shit, this is good.
This is good.
Holy shit,
this
is good.
This
is good. Don't suck.
Now I can enjoy these scenes again and see the details.
It's better the second time.
I picked up so much more.
You will.
You will.
I don't know.
You will absolutely.
I don't know if other people felt this way, but I'll admit it right now. You just fall in love with Rey. She's great.
It's a great character.
She's a great character. So happy.
So happy she's the hero.
Yes.
So happy she's the
she's
the prime
main
hero
character that you love.
It's fantastic,
right?
Fantastic.
You want
she's
to
a great
yes.
character.
Yep,
that I'm really excited.
Well,
about.
And I didn't read the article, but it's Princess Leia was in the first trilogy, and she is a great character. She takes control of her own. She's a leader in the Rebel Alliance. She basically saves herself from the Death Star when the two schmucks who come to save her don't really know what to do. And
somebody's got
to
save our skins.
Exactly. She's that character.
Yeah,
she's
right,
great.
Right.
She's a forceful personality.
Yeah,
so there's
great.
No real, in my opinion, no lack of strong women in the Star Wars universe. But Rey is, I think, going to be something unique.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see where they take her character.
Know,
and Daisy Ridley does a fantastic job.
She's great.
As Rey.
Yeah. When she's sitting at the foot of that AT-AT with the rebel helmet
it's
on.
It's such a pure moment
just
of joy.
Pure,
so
like,
great.
Like, joyous. Like, yep. I found this junk that meant something.
Right. I have no connection to it, right?
And,
but it's just
we
something
have all
I can
this
use.
Connection.
Exactly,
it's such an innocent, kind
of
playful,
it's a visceral
moment.
Reaction
it's
we all have
so
to.
Good.
Oh my
but
god,
for
that's
her,
so awesome!
But for her
I mean,
character,
you just have that reaction.
Yeah, for her character, it's this innocent, just kind of playful moment.
I got this helmet.
Of putting a helmet
right,
on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found this in the sand.
And it's cool.
And I'm a scavenger.
Exactly.
And this might have some value or whatever, mm-hmm. or maybe it's just it's shaded. Eye covering, windscreen,
yeah,
and
cool.
So it covers my eyes when it's bright.
Yeah,
that's
so
it,
cool.
That's all she's using it for. Yeah, that's good stuff.
So when the Starkiller base destroys those five planets or whatever,
yep.
Is one of those planets like Coruscant?
No,
is Coruscant
no.
gone
because it references a system.
They destroy the whole. They destroy one system,
okay. And that's not planets. Coruscant's system.
No.
Oh.
Yep.
It starts with an H.
Han okay. Sao or Han Sao.
Yeah,
Han,
exactly. They say
Han
it in the movie?
Sor. Yes.
Okay, so.
It's one of the things you pick up the second
see,
time
I
through.
I missed that.
Is that it's not Coruscant.
It's an important system to the Republic.
Right.
Right.
But obviously
they didn't
it's
just,
not
they
Coruscant.
Didn't smoke
it is,
Coruscant.
I yeah. think what it is, that's the planet that has the current Senate.
Oh.
Coruscant was the center of the Empire.
Right.
The planet that they destroy is where the existing Republic Senate is.
Was.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, we should wrap this up.
We're going to see it again. Go see it.
Wow. You should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com on what you thought of the film. You should follow us on Twitter @brothers_geek@twitter.com. You should go to the website, brothersgeek.com. You should follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/brothersgeek. Anything else?
Look to the website for some more content.
Yes.
I'm going to be writing something.
Good.
Yes.
The boys may be writing something also.
We'll
have a different take on it.
Yeah.
So check the website. That should be going up probably before the end of the year.
Yep.
Go see the movie.
And
you should
contribute to the discussion.
And email us.
Yes.
And that's awesome.
And for yes.
Fill my sock with candy.
Force Awakens.
A bright and shiny toy. You wanna make me happy and fill my heart with joy. Then Santa, give my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me. Please make this reindeer hurry. Well, the time is drawing near. It sure don't seem like Christmas. Fill my sock with candy, no bright and shiny toy. You wanna make me happy and fill my heart with joy, then Santa.